So we'll have to revert to the third eye, latent eye, shivneta, single eye. This is all. Let's see how we can see. God said, there be light, and there was light. You read in Genesis? And this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And the light is the life of man. Amongst Hindus there is custom, when a man going to die, they light a candle, put on the palm of the head. And the mantra that is said, that is in Sanskrit, that means this light will guide you here and hereafter. The hand and the candle both remain, which is that light, which is within you. That can be seen when your attention is drawn from all outside and your inner eyes open. So all scriptures describe rays of light vibrating with the music of life emanating from the formless absolute existence. When he came to manage the world in its variegated colors and counter shapes. So this pervades all four grand religions of the world. Kabir says, I went to the pilgrimage to Mecca. On the way God met me and began to fight with me, rebuked me, who told you I'm here? I'm in you. I'm the very life of your life. So the point Rajan Master asks, have you seen God? Guru Nanak says, yes, I've seen him. He's manifest everywhere. He does not give any reason, because he sees and make us see. Christ was asked, he said, behold the Lord. He never gave any reason for that. If we are not trying to let you know from the level of intellect, Kabir said, I was in doubt when I saw him within, now I'm fully confident he is. So Master, when they come, you see, they are, the message that they bring is that there is God. They have seen. And you can also see with their guidance. But whose God is? The God in him. He is the Word made flesh. God alone can afford you a contact with God. Nobody else. So we respect that man body, you see, in which is manifest and can do us that grace. So Guru Nanak was asked, with what eyes you have seen? He said, those eyes are different which you can see, not the eyes of flesh or bone. Mohammedan philosophy said that is the inner eye. So outer expressions of God into expression in light and sound. We can see him with the single eye, with the divtikshu, with the shivnetra, third eye. Samastam Ved. He said, what is this? He said, we should be able to see God with our own eye. How can we convince that there is God if we don't see our own self? We should be able to hear his voice with our own ears. Then how that eye and ear is opened? He says, close your eyes, you see darkness. Just penetrate into the darkness, and you find that. This is sort of giving a boost. Tulsi also said the same thing. The darkness within you, just look into the, through the eye beyond. That is strange. But he said, how can you can look through the darkness beyond? There's the favor of Samadhi, the God in him. So Maharaj Rum says, as long as you do not rise above the senses, life of senses, the world beyond is a stranger to us. So all these things you will find, unless our inner eye is open to see Him, we cannot be convinced. At the time of initiation, something is given to start. Some more, others less. that capital that you can start with and dwell from day to day. Every saint has its part in its infinity. Take the example of a pond, a water, that is covered with weed. You take out weed one by one, little by little. Take out all weed, and there are no ripples in the water, you can see your face. So first, this weed is what? This physical body. This delusion starts on the man body. When you rise above it, this is taking out the weed. If you still the mind for a while, you see the light. Very practical question. So all the delusion starts on the man body. Body is made of matter. Matter is changing at every moment of life. And the world around us is also made of matter. That is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing. As we are to identify with the body, whole thing appears to be stationary. It's an optical illusion. So first, how to take out the weed from the pond is rise above physical body. You can rise above your own self, very good. What more is wanted? A bridegroom wants to rise to see. If not, the word made flesh will give you little attention and you rise above and you see for your own self there is light within you. So there are three things, Kabir says. O man, you are considered the highest in all creation, all creation. All have been created to serve you. If you are not seeing God, on what account you boast? Your greatness is only there, why angels are asked to bow down to you. Because in man body only you can see God. And you are not seeing God, then why you boast? You are the highest of all things. So I say it is a matter of not only saying words. God is there, God is great, God is high, God is light, God is that. This alone won't do. Unless you see for yourself, then don't believe. One is seeing, then believing. And for that, what all masters prescribe, man know thyself. How to know yourself? We know only at the level of feelings or dry inferences. They are both subject to error. Seeing is above all. The seeing rises only when you rise above body consciousness. And how to rise above body consciousness? You can do of your own self, that is good. If not, with a little way up from a world made flesh, that you may say hundreds, that you all have some experience. So if you do it accurately, with a little thought behind, then you see more or less light. So there are three things required. One, a master who is word made flesh. Teachers are required in every phase of life. While the child born, parents are the teachers, brothers and sisters. In school, they are teachers. In outward all subjects which you make to conversion with that, you need somebody who is expert that way. These are required in all subjects relating to outgoing faculty, mind and intellect. And the subject what is before us is to know God. Where all world philosophies end, there the religion starts. Religion means stream is back, eager to bind. To bind back our soul to God. Where all intellect, outer understanding ceases. Is there nobody required for that? Naturally. Who can you give a way up? How to rise above body? First thing. And then open the inner eye and you testify there is God. And what further thing is required? What the master wants us to do to have true living? Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. honest or not. Okay? All that does not dwell passions in us. Because we have to control passion, for that reason we have to restrict ourselves to strict vegetarian diet, which is pacifying, does not flare up passion. And further, such a master will never engage you in the practices which relate to outgoing faculties, mind and intellect. As I submitted before, there are two kinds of worship. One is called exotic side, the other is called esoteric side. One is called apra, the other is called para. One is ilmi shina, the other is ilmi safina. So master gives you the inner way, which you want to follow. The religions came into being only when the masters left the earth plane to keep their teachings alive. The labels of which we are now carrying, some Christian, some Hindu, some Sikh, some Mohammedan, some Jew. So basically it is in a way the same. So they give you, don't give you anything of the exotic side. They say already made where you are, but rise above body consciousness. Your ABC of the inner way will start when you rise above body consciousness. You follow me? They say all the world is a manifestation of God. Where is God? Where is not? They are very conscious that they see God all around. Guru Nanak went to Makkah. He was lying at night with his feet towards Makkah, house of God. The servants over there rebuked Nanak, "What are you doing? You're lying with your feet towards the house of God." He politely answered, "Well, dear friend, I see God all around. Wherever you think God is, that you may touch my feet towards that." A fish inquires, "Where's the water?" He lives in the water. His life is very water. And still inquires, "Where's the water?" It is something like that, like us. So Master said that all manifestation is the all God, and they see, they have seen God within this man body, also with the true temple of God, in which the light of God, it can be seen when our single eye is open, third eye is open. We can hear the voice of God in music of the spheres when we rise above physical body. So true temple of God is in man body, in which light is lit and music of the spheres is reverberating. And in all creation, that is controlling power, keeping all control, creation under control and permeating our control, that is also keeping us in the body too. This is a wonderful house we live in. You see? It has got 9 doors. But we cannot run out of it. Some power is controlling us in the body. That is the power which controls all the universe and controlling us in the power, the very God into expression power, the outer expression of which are 2, light and sun. When you enter this man body, the temple of the God, true temple of God, by tapping inside, by rising above body consciousness, then your eyes open, you see the light is there. Outer models are made after the model of man body. Unless I, there is Muhammad saying too, Quran, the Muhammad also says so, God is everywhere. He said, "My followers, whenever the time of prayer comes, they should sit down on the earth. All earth is holy. All is holy where devotion kneels." There is no question east and west. In the Quran says that God is everywhere. Whenever the time of prayer comes, sit down, let them. He is omniscient. He knows where. And He reads our hearts. You are sitting that way or that way. So this is the fate awaiting us, but first we have to see the temple of God rise above it and open the inner eye to see the light of God. When you see here, then you see all world outside like that. The question arises, can we see God? Have we seen God? The Master says, yes, we have seen God in this very man body. So why don't we see? Say, because mind stands between and God within you. So first thing remains how to control the body. How do you control the mind? Mind is, you see, very fond of enjoyment. Outward enjoyments can be divided into good scenery, good beauty, you see unusual and tasty, good music, you hear, your attention will be drawn there. So that very thing, God has given that thing within us. And what is that? That is God into His spiritual power, which are two aspects, light and sound. That is more enchanting, more bliss-giving. Once the mind has a taste of that, it is all out of the time. That is the water of life within each man. That is the bread of life. You give food to the body. Your body becomes strong. You read and write and other things, and you give food to the intellect. You become intellectually strong. What food you have given to the soul? Soul is a conscious entity. The bread of life must be conscious. That is only when you come in contact with God into His special power, which is light and sound. So, good questions. What is that way in which we can know God? You say, first thing requires such a master who is seeing God. Just as the Gita, Lord Krishna also says, if you want to see God, go to somebody who has seen God. Those who have not seen God, how can you make see God? Christ and all masters, Guru word means who can remove the veil of darkness from within you and give you some light. Who can open your third eye, single eye. So such like master are few, have been few, and even now they are few, the world is not without them. He said, then what is the need? First need is what? Meet some master. The masters are also, you see, everybody called a master nowadays. This macrocosm and the microcosm of the man body. In the macrocosm, we have got three planes, physical, astral, and cosmic. God has given us three bodies, and we are working in the physical plane with physical body. At the time, it is now. We have got astral body to work through the astral plane. Then we have got the causal body to work through the causal plane. When we rise beyond it, into the supercausal and the pure spiritual plane, such a master is required who goes to the highest of all spiritual planes. So whatever degree of the teacher you meet, if you go to the first plane, he can take you to the first plane. If you go to the second, up to the second, third, you cannot take beyond. So such a master is required who goes beyond and also takes you beyond. What's the criterion? First, who can open our eye to see the light. Not by visualization, not by premeditation, mind that. By simply removing the darkness from within you, give a way up and you see light. Such a first required. This is what Kabir was saying. First required means Guru, Master, who has seen God, who can make us see. Christ said, I have come to make those people see who do not see. So what thought or teaching they give? They give us a teaching not exotic but the esoteric side. He said, where is the God? God is in the very core of your heart. He is the soul of the soul. He is the controlling power keeping you in the body. Otherwise you could have run away through the eyes, through the ear, through the nose. Sanskarya master required, who goes to the higher, this is the first step, who takes the weed from the pond, bringing up the physical body. Then with the mind little still, you see the light. So, what we are in a grand delusion. What delusion is there, as I just submitted, the body is changing, made of being made of matter, and the world around us made of matter is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing, and we are identified with it. This delusion starts from the man body. We are the indweller of the man body, we now look on the level of the man body. As two things are changing at the same speed, and we are identified with it, we think ourselves, we are stationary. As you rise above body consciousness, you see the world going the right perspective, you see. Fine. So all are in this grand belief. The learned and the unlearned both. How can you find way up? It is only when you know yourself. Knowing oneself not at the level of feelings or drawing inferences, it is actually by self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, knowing oneself and knowing God, the controlling power. You can see, find Him at the time of death, when you're leaving the body, there's some power controlling you. Even now, when you rise out of physical body, you see some power controlling you. So, Master tells us strange enough, whom we have to find in man body the golden opportunity which has been afforded to you, in which we can see God, meet God. He also resides in man body, the controlling power, keeping us in the body, and we also reside in the body. Body works as long as we are in the body, and body, we are in the body as long as that power controls us in the body. When that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. Strange enough, we both live in the same temple, we do not talk to him. Why? Because attention, which is the outward expression of our soul, is identified with the world outside. Unless that is withdrawn from there, we come to our own self, to our own selves at the back of the eye, then we'll see. I am looking at you, not behind. I can see behind only when there is seat at the back. When attention is withdrawn from outside and inward, you find that is there already. So, Master, do not give anything from outside, they simply help you to withdraw your outgoing faculty, out attention from outside, way up, give you way up to the back of the eyes you see light. It is already there. So, says, because we are working at the level of man, body, and outgoing faculty, all these five decades attack us, lust to the eyes. Anger is led up to the ears, smell to the nose, taste to the tongue, and touch by the skin. When you rise above, all outward faculties remain below. When you find a place beyond your foot, stay beyond, have the taste of it, naturally then you use these outward faculties at your own will and pleasure. Now we are dragged away by them like anything. Then you are the master of your home, you see. That master gives you first step to become the master of your home. Then all these outgoing faculties serve as servants. Now they work as bosses, dragged like anything outside. Why? Because we are not God, seen God within. We are not enjoyed the bliss or the nectar of God within. So he says, how to enter this man body? Take the example of house outside. It is made by, God made by owner of the house. When it is ready, locked it up, give the key to the servant. And anybody who wants to enter the house, what would he do? First he will have the sanction of the owner of the house. If he agrees, then he gives his key to the servant, or go and open the door and let him go inside. So this man body, who made it? God does not reside in temples made by human hands. God resides in the temple which he has made, in the womb of the mother. He has locked it up, he has given key to the servants. When he gives sanction, then what does he do? He makes some arrangement to bring him in contact with one of his servants, you may say, to whom he works on the astral plane. Go open the door, let him in. And he, what does he do? He withdraws your attention from all outside and gives you an access into the beyond, that's all. If you want to enter the house, you can, at any cost you can enter, because that is locked. The key is with somebody else. Unless the owner of the house gives a sanction for it, and then he details somebody to open the door, you cannot go within it. So he says that the God into expression power is the true Guru, mind that. When the world is made flesh, he comes at the physical plane to guide us. He says when that God into expression power sanctions, you see, what to give any man contact with him, he gives them the company of saints. He gives them the contact with those who are world made flesh. It is he who makes arrangement to bring him in contact with the God into special power, where he is manifest. He details that bring him in contact. So now we sometimes say, had he lived at the time of Christ or Guru Nanak or such and such, such and such, how can he find such a Guru now? So Kabir says, we must be true to our own self first. Do we really want him? That is the first thing to decide. We only want God for the sake of having this world, things of the world, be other world. If there is anybody who really wants to know God, then he sees within. My child is hankering after me. He is yearning, he cannot live without me. So he makes some arrangement. Who is true to one's own. He openly says, I have not met him. And further, he has got humility. Saint Augustine was asked, what is the qualification required to be such a master? He says, first humility, second humility, and third humility. The man who is humble, only he will go to somebody. Man of possessions, with high positions, and learned, they don't like to go to anywhere else. What will they say? He is humble, only he will go. Even then, there also, he knows what he knows. Simply he should hear what others have to say. He might have said to something new. Even there, he keeps his bowl not under the tumbler, but above the tumbler. How can they feel? So such a people, few there are, really go. When they go, there also they keep that glass under the, not under the tumbler, but above the tumbler, that cannot be filled in. So when you go there, see what is there to say. It is something beyond where the world philosophy and there the reason starts. So such a master is meant, whom God sanctions. What does he do, that man? He contacts, gives you contact to you with the light and sound principle within you, which is the way back to Absolute God. No hypothesis. Sometimes people ask the master, have you seen God? Have you come out of the delusion? Master says, yes, with the grace of God, I have come out of the delusion. I see my light is death. Being mingled into higher light. This is, there is God, And man body is the only golden opportunity in which we can know God. An ultimate goal or ideal before you by what joining different schools of thought is to know God. To know God, we must know ourselves.
Good evening and welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the second 30 minutes of the talk given by Master on 17th November 1972 at Mission Church, Santa Clara, California. Our reader this evening is Claire Stannard. Hello, Claire.
Hello, everyone. This is the third reading from a talk called Search for Truth, an English version of a talk Master gave in Hindi at Salon Ashram, Delhi, first published in March 1969 edition of Satsang Desh. It is a great blessing to meet a really awakened soul. You cannot come across such a one unless God desires it so. We cannot even know a God-man as we cannot know God. A blind man cannot find a person with vision. The latter may take pity on the blind man and take him by the hand. When our inner eye has not yet been opened and we are sitting on the plane of senses, we cannot possibly see the human pole on which the higher power is at work. Apparently, the God pole looks like any of us, and we have no means to understand his inner greatness. Nanak, you know, was called a man with a perverted intellect. Why? Because people had not the eye to fathom God in him. A competent master is a rarity. The scriptures speak highly of a perfect master. It means that there are in the world masters who are imperfect and not fully competent to impart spiritual experience. The world is full of so-called teachers and self-styled masters. Christ warns us to be aware of false prophets and half-prophets. A perfect master is one who has experienced the self in him and also has the power to manifest the same in others. He who has seen God can make others see him. No one has seen God but the Son and those whom the Son may reveal. How to know such a fully awakened soul? He is not to be judged by the palatial buildings in which he dwells or the huge congregations before him. The real test is that he should be able to give some practical demonstration of God power by momentarily lifting the soul from the level of the senses. You cannot test him on the level of the intellect, however hard you may try, even by close contact with him. Maybe for a long time. The reality is in him, and he keeps it as a sacred trust from God. He would not go about making a show of it. He can be moved by your genuine and keen desire for God realization. And if you have God's name writ in your forehead, he will certainly reveal the spirit and power of God in you. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So it is a question of asking, seeking, and knocking at the door of a God-man. And secondly, the experience depends upon the life impulse that the God-man imparts. For life comes from life. Mere knowledge of the formulas from books or from so-called teachers will not help. It is the radiation that passes from eyes to eyes and works the miracle. One glance of grace from him is enough to serve the purpose. It is he who raises up and upholds our attention so as to give us the inner experience. In the times of Hazur, many learned persons conversant with the scriptural texts would come and enter into idle discussions with the Master. Hazur would simply inquire of them if they had any inner access, and if so, could they take others also into the realms within? This would naturally quiet them, for they had no such experience even for themselves. Once Kartar Singh, a sightless philosopher, came to hear Hazur. After hearing the talk, the gentleman got up and said, "I am a great philosopher. I used to deliver rhetoric talks that would silence all opposition. After having heard your talk, I feel that I am just like a child collecting pebbles from the seashore, while the great ocean is lying unexplored before me." You would realize that there is a world of difference between a talk from a practical teacher and one from a learned person. The Master's talk spontaneously flows from the depth of his heart and sinks deeply into the hearts of the hearers. The thoughts that descend from above without thinking are said to be flawless and perfect. Attend ye to the true testimony of the saints, for they speak out what they actually see within. I speak nothing on my own, but as my Father bids me, I do. St. John. Nanak, speaking of God's presence, says, "I see my God as in full view." Saints speak with authority. This is the way of sages gifted with divine wisdom. They have love for all and enmity with none. They even love their enemies. Once the disciples asked Jesus as to how they should behave with the people, particularly with their enemies, Jesus explained, "Ye have heard that it hath been said by Moses, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them, that ye may be sons of your Father in heaven." You would realize that divine laws are given out according to the times and needs of the people. The Mosaic Law was delivered to the people because they were hard of heart. With the change of times, Jesus modified the position as above. The really great persons wish well to everybody. Their love is all-embracing. Their hearts are large like a sea. They do not raise even their little finger against them who cavil and carp and speak ill of them. It is a pity that the world is full of people who forget themselves for the sake of belly. It is very rare that you will find a person who is really in search of God. Our temples and our gurudwaras are crowded to suffocation. Thousands of people go there to attend the routine service. They listen quite attentively to the recitations and the talks over there. But just search their heart. Everyone has his personal motive for this kind of religiosity. Excuse me, we make a cat's paw of God. We do not want God for the sake of God. We must, therefore, learn to be true to ourselves. This is the first step and the most important step. God is great and gracious. He gives what we desire. If we want world, he would give us world, but not himself. The process of world is long and unending. Have you realized as to what is the greatest hurdle in our way to God? We stand at the gate blocking the way and pray God to enter. How can he? We must step aside and make a way for him. we must empty ourselves of all thoughts of the world so as to make room for him. We have to wait and watch for him. He comes like a thief in the night, and there is no hour fixed for his coming. God is not deaf. He knows what is passing in our hearts and acts accordingly. The law of God is good, just, and for our ultimate benefit. If we ask amiss, he would not grant us. We must learn to live in his will and accept his will, whatever it be. Therein lies our safety and security. We even do not know what to ask of him and how to ask. The fault lies with us. Sometimes it so happens that our desires are fulfilled, and yet in the end things go wrong. It is then that we realize that we had asked something undesirable. Why not then pray God to give us that which he thinks the best, rather than to blame the stars if anything goes wrong? That is why an awakened person has a ruling passion for God alone. All things work to the good of those who win the love of God. How can we do this? We even do not know where God is, and how can we reach up to him? For this, we shall have to rise as high as he is. It is then that we can know him. God is very subtle and beyond the reach of our senses, our mind, and our intellect. We cannot see him with the eyes of flesh. If we learn how to etherealize ourselves, we can come in contact with God into expression and thereby win his love. Now the question is one of finding a guru of the right type. On the one hand, we have gurus who simply profess themselves as such. By acting and posing as gurus, they make their living. We have nothing to do with gurus of this category. Then there are social teachers and preachers doing their work according to the set rules of the organizations to which they belong. Man is a social animal and cannot but live in society. The fundamentals of all social orders are almost similar enough. They tell us to have a clean living and chaste life of truthfulness and continence. This is something commendable. Social reformers can certainly help to raise society and social life of the people to a certain extent. But unfortunately, our reformers too, in course of time, grow narrow-minded and lose their elastic touch with the society, with the result that splinter groups grow within the society. This leads to splitting, friction, and unrest. So whatever they do something of a limited nature for a limited time. The good they do is not enduring. This is the second category of teachers, and we may class them teachers of society and worldly wisdom. They cannot be of any great help to us in self-realization and God-realization. For these objectives, we will have to search for another type of guru, the Satguru type, or one established in Sat or truth. They are realized souls with a knowledge of and access into the realms beyond the range of senses, the mind, the intellect, and the pranas, vital airs. They are teachers indeed, and hold in their hands the keys of heaven and hell and of the beyond. The gnarled sage, Ashtavakar, who gave a practical experience of the inscape to Raja Janak, belonged to this category. He was the only rishi who not only professed but claimed to have realized his own self and was capable to make others realize likewise. India, as you know, was at that time at the zenith of its glory, full of sages and seers of different types and orders, but none could demonstrate God to the royal seeker after God, Raja Janak. The great sage Yajna Valkya could only give the king the theory of pravidya, or the science of the soul. So all we need is a perfect master for our instruction and guidance on the God way. The next question is as to where a perfect master is to be found. You should know that he is not tied down to any particular society or to any particular country. A man of spirit comes and goes like a free wind. And then God may choose any human pole as his befitting receptacle to work through. He may come as a cobbler like Ravidas, or as a cloth printer like Namdev, or as a weaver like Kabir. He may take his birth among Kshatriyas or among Jat cultivators as Dana Bhagat. He may appear in one country or the other, in east or in west, or anywhere in the world. Wheresoever God's light may appear, people like moths are sure to gather. He may come in a high-class family or be born low, it matters little. But this much is certain, that if he himself is a man of realization, then alone you may expect some inner experience from him. We must then pray day and night for meeting a competent master. I would like to tell you one of my personal experiences. Even as a child, I had some background of my own. Every day, I would take down a couplet from the Sikh scriptures. I would write it down and throughout the day would cogitate upon it. On one occasion, I took for my couplet something where stress was laid for contacting a real guru, maybe a sadhu, a sant, or a mahatma. This set me a-thinking. I began to pray to God to help me to a real guru, so that I may derive full benefit in this very life and thus fulfill my long-cherished desire. Gradually, this became an obsession with me. I even wished that God may himself shower his mercy directly upon me, as he did to Dhruva or Prahlad in bygone days. But now the times had changed. God's power could now be experienced only through the grace of some God-man. I was afraid that if I erred in my choice, my life would be wasted. For a long time, I continued thinking like this. From time to time, I had divine visitations. I always took the form of the holy man who used to visit me in my meditations as Nanak. In those very days, I composed a poem in which I beautifully described the lovely features of the divine guide who kept guiding me all these years from day to day on different planes. This state continued for about 7 years. It was only in 1924 that I happened to go to Biaz and met that visionary figure in the form of Hazur Sawan Singhji Maharaj. All I mean to say is that God listens to our prayers, provided they are genuine, deep, and sincere. When I inquired from Hazur as to why he had taken so long a time to draw me to his lotus feet, he simply replied that it was the most opportune time to do so. I cannot help repeating that a God-man is not a man in the ordinary sense of the term. He is always a human pole on and through which the God power works. The power of God is pervading everywhere, and on the chosen human pole, it works on so many different levels. As a guru, he works on the physical level as any other worldly teacher would do. He joins in our joys and sorrows. He may even shed tears with us in our distress. All this he does to develop our human nature and our faith in him. Inwardly, he remains as he is, unaffected and unconcerned with all our wheels and woes. Thus, on the human level, he acts as a perfect human being, but besides this, he is something more as well. When you leave the physical plane and transcend into the astral world, the Guru now assumes the form of Guru Dev and appears in his radiant form. When the disciple is able to manifest in him this radiant form of the Master and starts communing with him, he becomes a Guru Sikh. This radiant form of the Master now becomes our guide on the inner planes and leads us to the feet of the Sat Purush. The power that merges in the Sat Purush is called Sat Guru. It is this power that works in the world on the human plane as a guru. This is why it is said, Sat Guru remains in his fullness. It means he is fully manifested wherever he is, even on the human pole, but is not attached to the pole. Excuse me, we have not yet understood the real nature of Guru and his greatness. Like a little child, we presume to know him. What can a child know of his father, and more so of the Heavenly Father? We know him only to the extent that he wishes us to know, or reveals himself to us. The Guru is as incomprehensible and ineffable as God himself. We simply cannot know him on the human level of the intellect. You may take the life history of any great soul and you will find that the heights he gained were because of the intense fire in him. God cannot be had so easily as we may imagine. Rabia Basri, a Muslim divine, suffered from severe pangs of separation from the Lord. She had an intense longing for him. She would go into meditation at early dawn and remain so till night, and then would sit again till daybreak. Her neighbors were surprised at her continuous devotion. Once they inquired of her, "O Rabia, would you kindly tell us if God visits you before you go into meditation or after you have finished the meditation?" She said, "He comes before I sit for meditation." They asked, "How do you know this?" She replied, "It is he who pushes me into meditation. Whenever I feel restless and then overwhelmed by strong feelings and emotions, I know that he has come." This is something normal in the lives of spiritually great. From a very early age, Nanak had no love for the world. As a child, he remained in a sort of self-absorption. He was the only son of his parents. His father and family members could not bear to see him in a state of distress and distraction. Nanak was sent on to a pilgrimage. It did not help him. A physician was called in. He began to feel the pulse of the young man. Nanak himself described this incident so beautifully. "The poor physician came in and began to feel my pulse. How could the simpleton know the anguish in my heart?" And then he significantly added, "O physician, go thy way back, for I am smitten by the love of the Lord." The first thing we need is an inner craving for the Lord. It is in the furnace of love that the Lord shineth in full effulgence. The past samskaras, impressions, get a good impetus from a man of realization. The ladder fans the flame of love. In every heart there is love. But what is desired is love for the Lord and not love for the world. The Guru finds a ready soil in a loving heart for sowing the word of God. Guru Arjan goes on to explain, whatever one sets his mind upon, he cannot do without that. It is a matter of common experience that we always follow the mind. If a child is hungry, nothing would satisfy him except food. A mother may place hundreds of toys before him and try to play with him in diverse ways, and the child would still go on crying for his milk. Milk is everything for him. This is exactly the case for one who has in him hunger for the Lord. The world and the things of the world have no value for him. The riches and the possessions, however immense he may have, fail to give him any satisfaction. The inner urge for God is gnawing him down. All that he wants is to find a way to God. He is prepared to sacrifice his all for one who can put him on the God way. Once a man went to a Mahatma. The latter was preparing to go to the riverside for a bath. He asked the young man to accompany him. Taking off their clothes, they went to have a dip in the river. The Mahatma pushed the man where the water was deep and held his head down under the water. The man felt suffocated and struggled to raise his head out of the water for breathing. The Mahatma pulled him out and inquired of the man if he had a choking sensation for the Lord, as he had for air while under the water. This is what is required for a seeker after God. Without it, one cannot do anything. Once Hazrat Junid of Persia was riding along a river bank when all of a sudden his mare came to a standstill. However hard he would kick the mare, the animal would not move. When all coaxing and kicking failed, he gave rein to the animal to do what it liked. All at once, the animal went into a gallop and took the Hazrat to a mountain cave where an old man was sitting by himself. The Hazrat alighted and remained with the old man for some time, giving him instructions in the way of Allah, Lord. Before parting, the Hazrat gave his address to the seeker after God. The man, all unconcerned, naively said, there would be no occasion for me to follow thee to thy place. He who has sent thee now shall send thee again if at any time I feel the need for thee. It is, of course, too much to expect for a murid, disciple, from his murshid, master. The fact is that God is not far away from us. He is in us, though we may not be in him. It is he who directs the God-man to seek and find the lost sheep. I may tell you something from my own personal experience. One day I was sitting with Hazur in the house of one Duli Chand in Amritsar when a Sikh gentleman walked in. Hazur, with a twinkle in his eye, looked towards the newcomer and asked in a familiar tone, oh, you have come. Yes, Maharaj, I have, he replied. Surprisingly, I inquired from him as to how he had come. The gentleman replied, last night Hazur came to me in a vision. He asked me to come to this place the next day. I had never met Hazur before. It is my good luck that I have come to him. What I mean to say is that an awakened soul is just like a person on the top of the hill, who from a point of vantage can look around and see smoke arising from the heart's yearning for God. When he does witness this, he makes a provision either to reach unto them or direct them in one way or the other to come to him. Such a person is called Guru or a Mahatma. Great soul. O Mother, With all thy dainty dishes before me, I feel as unsatiated as before. The love for God is unending and increases from moment to moment. No amount of worldly pleasures can divert the attention of a person suffering from the pangs of separation. The parental love is undoubtedly immense, but the love of the Master for his disciple is still greater and exceeds all bounds. It is as all-embracing as God himself. That concludes this talk. This was the third reading from Search for Truth. It's an English version of a talk Master gave in Hindi at Sawan Ashram, Delhi. It was published in the March 1969 edition of Sat Sandesh. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Claire, for reading for us. There were 50 of us in today's satsang. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So thank you for your affording this opportunity of snatching away your time from your busy hours to just have a patient hearing what I have come to know. So I thank you all for all that.